We are in Revelation chapter 22, resuming our study at verse 10. Revelation 22, 10. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul of the spirit and the joints of the marrow, is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Before we begin our Bible study at Revelation chapter 22, verse 10, we will spend a few moments in silent prayer, as is our custom, to give all of us the opportunity to concentrate on our status, the absolute side of our spiritual life, whether we are filled with the Spirit or whether we are not. If we are not, then we remedy that by simply using the rebound technique. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of gathering here to study your holy word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us by these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I'm still fighting cold slash allergy, but we'll press forward. We left off with the doctrine of time in our last Bible class, and so we picked up at point seven. We did learn at point seven about time, at point six, time and grace. Time, of course, is a logistical grace blessing for all believers. We are in time, we're in a mortal body, and that's that small window we have to reach spiritual maturity in this mortal body. And we noted James chapter 4, verse 13 to 14, about priorities. We talked about that last time. That verse does not apply to the born-again believer because God bends time around the believer that's positive towards Bible doctrine. He will give you the time to reach the status of spiritual maturity. That's how you glorify God. Many people wonder, how do I glorify God? Well, that's how you glorify God. You do what he tells you to do. And he's glorified when you have entered into his plan and you have fulfilled what he has designed for you in eternity past through predestination, of course, election. So point seven, it says, timing is everything. For each believer, God has a specific plan and purpose for their participation in the angelic conflict. Thus, his timing is perfect, while the believer's timing is not. Well, that's true, because we all have our own timeline and things that we want to achieve and accomplish in the world. And generally, if they're good things, we want them now. We don't want to wait. We don't have the patience. We don't have the perseverance. But see, God, of course, has something else in mind for us. He has our happiness in mind, far beyond that you can develop your own happiness or be his happiness. And our cup will overflow if we follow his timing. So we are in this thing called the angelic conflict, which is another collateral doctrine here. We are participants in the angelic conflict. All believers are. Every time a human becomes a believer, an unbeliever, well, they're a witness in the angelic conflict to resolve Satan's false objection that God is unfair. And then there's a few believers that reach spiritual maturity. And to those people, we are fulfilling the absolute plan of God. And we do it in our own way, in our own frame, in our own time, in our own geographic system to move forward. So for the mature believer, timing is everything. And so the best way to achieve these things is to study Bible doctrine. And these things will take care of themselves. We have 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2, so as to live the rest of the time, because we're alive, so we have the rest of the time. Time will expire at some point, so we do have the rest of the time. To live the rest of the time in the flesh, that simply means that we are in a mortal body, and the body is a house for the soul. The soul is what you really are for a believer. Of course, we have a soul and a spirit, and it houses, the body houses it. Now, the body is wired up to the soul and the spirit, obviously, because if the body malfunctions, the brain, for example, well, the soul cannot express itself. And so we have various diseases of the mind and things of that nature. But we're talking about a normal person that has their faculties. Some people, of course, they get to a certain point where their faculties depart them. So whatever status you have in the time before that, you're alive, but you can't really take in Bible doctrine anymore. It's merely circulating. Whatever was is still circulating within you. Excuse me again. So it says it emphasizes we're in the flesh. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust, and that's epithubia, and that means lust. So we have an old sin nature. We have things that the old sin nature wants to pull us this way, pull us that way, things to do. Some of them are nice. Some of them are not nice. Some of them are sinful. Some of them are wrapped up in human good. Remember, when you're out of fellowship with God, the Holy Spirit, no matter what you do, is human good. It doesn't matter. The only divine good that's produced is when you're in the filling of the Holy Spirit, that bottom circle. And also, as you advance toward maturity, you're producing a lot of divine good when you study Bible doctrine and go up that ladder to reach spiritual maturity. And if you've already reached some level of spiritual maturity, well, keep going. If you're still alive, then God obviously has a purpose to test whatever doctrine you have in the angelic conflict, because we are subject matter expert witnesses, the mature believers, and therefore we have a greater testimony at this trial. It's an appellate trial, but it's still a trial. So we have a fantastic testimony. What is that testimony? Well, the testimony, quite simply, is despite the world, and despite that Satan is the ruler of the world, you reach maturity. Whatever the faults, whatever the benefits, whatever life threw at you or didn't throw at you, you still reach spiritual maturity, and that's your testimony. So your testimony will be slightly different than another subject matter expert witness, because you don't live their life, and they don't live your life. Experiences are different. The stage in which you lived your life, you have different props and different things occurred. And so the issue is that despite these things, or maybe they help propel you along, you still reach spiritual maturity. Nothing stopped you. And nothing can stop you, except for you. So it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2, it says, no longer for the lust of men, and that's living in the cosmic system, because that's mankind's view of things, but for the will of God. And that's the thelema. What is the will of God? For you to reach spiritual maturity. So for the rest of the time, get busy, is what this passage is really telling all of us. Don't waste your time. You've heard that as many times growing up. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Well, if you're studying Bible doctrine, that's not a waste of time at all. So we have point B under 7. There is no such thing as luck, because God has ordained everything that's associated with your growth of spiritual maturity a long time ago. Oh, yes, you can go to Vegas and play the one-armed bandit or whatever, and things happen. It's just entertainment. But we're talking about your life, the course of your life. God has already plotted it out. He knows the beginning from the end. And before one day was written in that book, it was already written. We just don't know. So God will provide all the things that you need. Logistical grace, he'll promote you at the right time. He'll give you whatever you want at his timing. And his timing is perfect. That's why we have many passages in the Word of God about waiting on the Lord. So we all have a case of the wants. I want this, you want that. Wait on the Lord. He will give you all these things, as Christ promised. Put Bible doctrine first. Seek ye the kingdom of God. I'll give you all these things. He wants to make you happy. He is your Father. And your Father is not going to hold back any blessing from you. But again, if you don't have the capacity, you can't enjoy the blessings. So far better to get the capacity, because then you can enjoy these things. 1 Peter 5, 6-7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt. And that's hupso-o, which means to lift up, to promote, to the very height of prosperity. He will exalt you at the proper time. Casting all your anxiety, that's worries, on him. Why? Because he cares for you. And that's an understatement. Would say that God cares for you is an understatement. He's done that hard part already by saving us. It's the easy part to give you rewards and bless you. The hard part was Christ going to the cross and dying for our sins. So therefore, it's a fortiori logic. If he did the most for us, which is saving us, when we were his enemies, how much more will he do now that we're his dear children? And he has a maximum love for you. Well, quite a bit more. But again, it's all about the human volition. Because even if God gives you all these things, won't give you pleasure. It'll give you a little bit of happiness. Excuse me one more time. That's the doctrine of happiness. Thank you for sticking with me in this dire time. But the doctrine of happiness. There's neutral happiness. There's God's happiness. And then there's minus happiness. So yeah, you could derive little points of happiness here and there, but it's irrelevant. God's happiness surpasses everything. And his timing is perfect. And he will give you the things that will make you happy beyond your imagination, because that's what people really spend their time doing, is trying to be happy. I want to be happy. So what makes you happy? Well, if you're a born-again believer, you're not going to be happy unless you take in Bible doctrine. Now, you'll have little mountains of stimulation, but that's not happiness. Because the more you have stimulation, well, you have a hangover after it's over. So people seek greater and greater stimulation. It's just like drugs. Start out with the gateway drug of marijuana, and it just doesn't give you the high anymore. So many people will go on to the next stage, and the next stage, and the next stage. And that's just an example. So, happiness comes only from the hand of God, and he's designed a way to make you happy. All you got to do is turn on the spigot of happiness, which is what? Time. You need time to do it, and God gives you that time. And he will promote you in his timing, not your timing. I've had the same experience all of us have when I was in my, dating area back in my 20s or whatever. Yeah, I wanted to get a wife and get married, do all the normal things that people do. But time went by, nothing happened for a very long time. And it was a wonderful test, of course. People have different tests in different ways. I wanted success. I wanted this. I wanted that. We all do. And God will give you these things. God cannot lie. It's called the faith rest take technique. And remember, why does God, you might say, well, he's stringing me out. Well, why is he stringing you out? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, the book of Hebrews. And that includes the faith rest technique. But you can't use the faith rest technique until you use faith in terms of taking in Bible doctrine. Remember, the word faith has four meanings. Pistis. One of them refers to the body of information that is believed, Bible doctrine. One of them refers to the faith rest technique. Claim the promise of God and rely on it. That's how you glorify God. Because God can point at you and say, look, this person doesn't have what they want, but they're relying on me because they trusted me to give it to them because I said I would. And he will. Okay. Because, as you know, our timing can get us into a lot of trouble. God's timing never will. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, for though by this time you, this is a loser believer, ought to be teachers. In other words, you've heard so much Bible doctrine that you ought to be teachers. So they used their time, but they weren't submitting themselves to seriously studying the Word of God. So they've been Christians for a long time, but they're not studying Bible doctrine. And so that's why the writer of Hebrews said, by this time you've had the opportunity of Bible teaching, you should be teachers of doctrine. In other words, you should be at the highest levels, but they're not. He says, continue with the passage, you have need again to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles. That word is logion, which means the words or utterances of God. That's Bible doctrine. Of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. In other words, they're babies. They need to have milk all over again. So at some point, these people had Bible doctrine. Maybe they were gnawing on a bone or something. They'd gone out of the milk stage. But they just stopped. They stopped. God gave them time. He gave them the pastor teacher, gave them everything. So it's never God's fault. It's our fault. If we fall off the wagon, it's our fault. But if you fall off the wagon and you're still alive, well, chase the wagon down and get back up on the wagon. Rebound and keep moving. And so, yes, by this time, you should have been a mature believer. And then on page 682, we have that diagram that we've used throughout the book. X is when you're born again. X is when you're born to this world. Y is when you're born again. And Z envisions the positive believer that God wants all the way to the top when you die. And that straight red line, of course, is God's directive will for your life. In other words, he has a plan where he gives you all these things. You just stay on the straight line, never sin, and you'll get right to where he wants you to be. Only Jesus did that. We don't do that. We get off the line. That's the wavy blue line. If it was really a true diagram, that wavy blue line wouldn't be so nice and wavy. it would look like a mess. Because every time you said you're off God's directive will, you rebound, you get back on the line. But eventually, you will progress up the line, rebound, and keep moving. Keep studying Bible doctrine. So the big picture is point C under point 7. The big picture should always keep, the believer should always keep the big picture in mind and to rely on God for his perfect timing. And that's a good verse there, is 2 Timothy 4, 6-8. For I am already, this is Paul, of course, writing these things. My light fracture here is out a little bit. Hold on one second. Let me pull this up. Light this up. But a dark spot. Okay. For I, Paul, am already being poured out as a drink offering. Paul, of course, knew that his time for death was coming, physical death. He's in prison. He's writing this last letter that he would ever write, 2 Timothy, the very end of it. He says, I know I'm about ready to die. This is an idiom for that. I'm being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And so we have this kind of encapsulated. We're going to die, and God understands that we're going to die. Paul knew his time for death was coming. He's in his 60s. He's been sentenced to death. He's going to be taken out, and he's going to be beheaded by the Romans. It's a very quick death. And, of course, it was revealed to him that this is it. Remember, he had been in jail before, and he had appealed to Caesar, same Caesar, Nero. He was found not guilty and released. And that would be in the year 62 A.D. He went on his missionary journey. He was rearrested during the great Christian purges by Nero, when he burned out a large part of the city of Rome. And Christians were scooped up. Paul was rearrested, brought into Rome, brought before Caesar, and his appeal was denied. Treason was the charge, and he was executed. So he's allowed to write this one last letter to Timothy. He says, my time for departure has come. I fought the good fight. And, of course, that's very true. The word for fought is a word that means to enter a contest in the games, the Olympic Games. The good fight, of course, has kalos, which means beautiful. The fight is agnon, which means the place of contest. Where's the place of contest? Well, in the angelic conflict. I have finished the course. This is the end of his life. I have kept the faith. That's Bible doctrine. And then he says, in the future, because this is not the end. Far from it. Paul will receive a resurrection body, and he says, I'm going to receive rewards. He doesn't know exactly what level of maturity he's at, but he knows he's a mature believer, obviously. And he's reached, in my estimation, the highest levels of spiritual maturity, but that's up to the judgment seat of Christ. Remember, Paul said at one point, it's kind of ironic, I'm putting out the accurate Bible doctrine that can get you to maturity, and yet there are people that are listening to me that might have higher levels of rewards in eternity than me. And he mentioned this, of course, in the book of Philippians, following his little stint of reversionism. But by the time the ink was dried on Philippians, he had accelerated, obviously, to a very high state of spiritual maturity, as evidenced by the book of Ephesians. And so he knows he's going to get a reward, and this is not arrogance. Yes, you are going to be rewarded. If you study and learn Bible doctrine, even if you go back into reversionism, you'll be rewarded at the highest level you've got to. So you don't have to say, oh, shucks, I'm just a humble person. No, you're going to get rewards. Your father is going to give you rewards. If you have decent parents as a kid, you know you're going to get something under the Christmas tree. And it's not arrogance. It's simply you know that relationship is there, that you know you have studied Bible doctrine. You did it. You persevered. You endured. And you can go back into your mind. And you can go into your soul and say, yes, I understand that doctrine, that doctrine, that doctrine. You can identify the tests that you passed, the ones you flunked, and the ones you passed. And Paul, of course, had a full life, reaching maturity and passing many, many tests. So he says in the future, this is the judgment seat of Christ. He says he's going to get this thing called the Stephanos, which is the crown of righteousness. And he says, it's already there. It's already there for me. I'm going to wait to get it. Now, this is the doctrine of rewards, and there are various rewards that believers will be entitled to. The crown of righteousness is simply one. These are language of accommodation. It's not literally a crown that you're going to wear around your head. It's an indication that you've reached spiritual maturity, and that's what the crown of righteousness is. For all those that reach that level of spiritual maturity. Are there levels within spiritual maturity? Yes. But if you reach a certain level called spiritual maturity, you will get the crown of righteousness, because it says he's going to reward it to me on that day. This is the judgment seat of Christ. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Again, this is the key thing in many passages of the Bible where it talks about rewards. It says that you have to love. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. God works all things together for good to those that love him. Well, who loves God? The mature believer. You can't love what you don't know. They've learned Bible doctrine. And they've done the other things in life. You've got time. God gives you time to do all the normal things. We're in a mortal body. We've got to eat. We've got to take flow days. We've got to do this. You've got to do that. And we understand that. You've got to work. But you have to segment time to study Bible doctrine. There's nothing more important. And I could stand up here and say that all day long, which is very true. But you have to decide for yourself, is there nothing more important? And if you say to yourself, yeah, there are things more important, well, at least you're honest. But stick with Bible doctrine, because there will come a time when it'll dawn on you, because if you think there's something more important, you're not a mature believer. You're on your way, perhaps, but you haven't reached that level. There's nothing more important. In fact, we have a phrase in the military, God and country, which indicates that all these things come from God. At least people understand that at some level. But for the mature believer, yeah, there's nothing more important. We love his appearing. That's the rapture. We anticipate the rapture. And we know that the rapture is going to occur at some point. Now, you might want to say, well, I want the rapture to occur right now. Do you? Because if the rapture occurs, your time's up. Your time is up, and that's the status you're going to receive for all eternity. That's why, in my opinion, the rapture is going to be at a time where there's very few believers, and very few believers that want to learn Bible doctrine. But in any event, that's my opinion. It's not the Word of God. People have different ideas about when the rapture occurs. We know the doctrine of the imminency of the rapture. It could occur right now. It could have occurred 1,000 years ago. But it hasn't happened yet. Therefore, if it hasn't happened yet, you need to get, all of us need to get crack-a-lackin', as we say, and study Bible doctrine. So Paul anticipates these things, and this will be your testimony at some point too. It's going to happen. And then we have the next point, which is D, which is called bad timing. And that's on page 683 of your book, Christian Doctrines. The believer getting into the cosmic system is always bad timing. Right priorities must always put Bible doctrine first, not the cares of the world, to include even normal concerns in business, family, or logistics. Point E is wait on the Lord's timing. That's the case of Joseph. Joseph was unjustly accused of rape. He was thrown into jail. And what was his attitude? Well, the Lord knows I'm here. He hasn't forgotten about me. He didn't say, I want my rights. I need to have a lawyer. I need to have a public defender. And he didn't like yell and scream at people, I've been unjustly done. God knows where you are. So why are you complaining? He's always known that you would be here. It's a test for Joseph to advance to the highest levels of spiritual maturity for the Old Testament dispensation. And he did very well for a while. And then, of course, he fell on his face. We studied that before. And then he brushed himself off. And he got a little longer jail sentence because he fell on his face. But God eventually, in his time, he brought him out and elevated him to be the number two person in Egypt. How's that for going to prison to the number two person? But it was God's timing. And so Joseph was a blessing when he relied on the faith rest technique, but he was also a blessing to all of his siblings. Remember the famine that they came out and all that story there? He was a blessing to many, many people. So you wait on the Lord's timing. And when you fail to wait on the Lord's timing, it's only trouble. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means everything you've got, you trust in the Lord. Even in spite, you look around like Joseph, how can I trust in the Lord? I don't even deserve to be here. I didn't rape Potiphar's wife, and he knows it, and I know it. But he put me here anywhere. Anyway, this is not fair. This is simply not fair. Yes, it's not fair, but God knows you're there, and he has a purpose for you, Joseph. You're going to be a blessing to people in jail. So if you're in a bad situation, yeah, I got that. It's a bad situation. I want to get out. I want to get out. Why do you want to get out? Well, God has you there for a purpose. And there's no mistakes. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. That's it. All your ways, acknowledge him. How do you acknowledge him? Does that mean you like parrot every other word? The Lord willing, I'll cross the street. And God bless you, brother. No, that's just nonsense. Acknowledging God means you do what he tells you to do. And what does he tell you to do? Study the word of God. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That's the King James Version. We cite that every Bible class, or practically every Bible class, to remind us. This is the command. That's it. So that's what Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6 is telling us. He will make your path straight. He'll hook you up with it. Whatever you want. You will get it. Your path will be straight. You won't stumble. Stick with God. Wait on the Lord's timing. And then point 8, day by day. God gives a believer a day and then another day and so on in order that Bible doctrine can be taken into our inner man day by day. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. That's the reason you're here. You're here because you're part of the angelic conflict. You're in God's army. And we have Psalm chapter 25, 5. It says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Wait, all for you I wait all the day. This is a mature believer. For you, I wait all the day. This person can't wait to get to Bible class, can't wait to study the Word of God and whatever he does it each day. And so today, as I've said many times, it's easy to fulfill this command to reach maturity. We have, in our own ministry, we have ChristianDoctrineMinistries.com. Go to that website. It's very easy to use now. User-friendly. No password required. Go right to the internet, find it, go into Old Testament, New Testament, and get busy. You can listen to lesson after lesson after lesson after lesson. And that's how you're going to grow to maturity. That's how I grew to maturity. That's how you will grow to maturity. And if you're at maturity, well, God has you still alive. So hold the high ground. Because in the military, you take the high ground, reach maturity. But the enemy wants to knock you off the high ground. And in the American Civil War, many times between the Union and the Confederacy, these forces would go at it. And one would get the high ground, the other one would counterattack, knock them off. They counterattack, knock them off. Counterattack, knock them off. This happened on one occasion, the Battle of Manassas, for like 5-6 times in a row. They had some cannons out in the middle of the field, and each side would swarm up, take the cannons, drive them off. Other side would counterattack, take the cannons, drive them off. So if you're at maturity, hold the high ground. God has more fun in store for you in your life. And it is fun because you can put on the full armor of God and engage in combat. All soldiers want to engage in combat. You're a soldier in God's army. Don't you want to test the Bible doctrine and watch it succeed in all your little problems and wash them all away and trust in the Lord? Sure you do. Psalm 90:12. So teach, that means yada, which means to learn, to know, us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Hello. Teach us to number our days. That means put your priority together, people. Why? That we may present to you, that's God, a heart of wisdom. Bible doctrine into your brain. The heart's not here, the heart is here. That's it. So teach us to number our days. Lead us. And we're going to have to pick it up on point 9 on Sunday. We will be in person on Sunday. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. Thank you for recalling these things to our mind. In Christ's name, amen. And happy Thanksgiving.